is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon, Bahamas. My name is Leonard Sands, and I am here with
Debbie Deal.
And we are again on the show Nailed It, talking about construction, design, policy, and the Bahamian Contractors Association. So we want you to tune in, listen up attentively, because as always, we're going to have some interesting conversations, and we need your participation. So feel free to call in and be a part of this conversation. So before we got on air, Debbie and I were talking about the lineage of construction. And I know we speak romantically about it. It's because we love construction. But let's talk about the backdrop of this conversation. And we want all the craftsmen and persons who do this for a living join in and help us tell the story better, because we're not as versed as you are. So help us tell the story better. The guy who's 1920 today had someone who trained him. Let's put 30 years on the trainer. So that individual was 50.
Right.
The Bahamas is 50 plus one going on two. Mm-hmm. So let's say at the turn of 1973, the individual who trained the guy who's 19 now, got his training. Where would he have gotten his training in 1973?
From the person who trained him.
From the person who trained him, yes. Because or probably if they got the money on or had the apprenticeship program was operational in city and guilds, and they probably got some formal training. Probably.
Yeah, I know some of the larger projects that actually happened here did actually do training programs, right?
And we're talking about 1973. Mm-hmm. Let's peel that back now. The person who was 50 in 1973, peel back their trainer 30 years prior to that. Mm-hmm. You're now talking about 1973 minus 30 years, 1943.
Right.
Where did they get their foundational knowledge and training in construction in 1943?
I would imagine foreigners that were here, I'll use Harbor Island as an example. People that would have gone there to build houses, they would have probably helped to train the people.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to come there and they're going to build a fancy dancy house, they are going to want it done correctly.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, also, I remember back in the day when you would have Solomon Adderley, who had a woodworking shop on Hay Street, he was always training people.
Yeah,
he always had
I know Mr. Adderley.
He always had apprentices there. Yeah.
So now we are 1943. Mm-hmm. Peel back the trainer, 30 years minus. Mm-hmm. 1913.
Right. RBC came here, what, in 2000?
Just at the turn of the 19th century.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they celebrated
1911 or something like that.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So you're talking about 1913. Mm-hmm. You have to imagine that the landscape looked entirely different in terms of who could afford to build a proper masonry structure.
They probably built their building down on Bay Street.
Yeah, probably themselves.
It has the sign on it and the
date. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and we say all this, we're trying to create the understanding of where construction has grown to against the backdrop of the Bahamas government, the Bahamas, the country has never had a national construction school, a national construction regime, a national training for contractors, tradespeople in the space. Right. Now, I segue that to that. We have Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute, which is a wonderful institution. Mm-hmm. But I always argue that they are only able to do so much because they're not set up to do construction. They're set up as training in all kind of different acumens, and they do great jobs there. But across the construction trades, where it's only focused, that's not the focus of BTBI.
Because construction is not just what you read in a book. It's actually what you physically do with your hands.
It's all what you physically do with your hands. It's all of that. Yes. It's all your brain, your mind, your hands, your feelings. It's everything. But in talking with focus, you know, Debbie, like you know, you and I could talk shop. Would you be successful as a construction company, right? Mm-hmm. If you're doing renovations, some painting contracts, new construction, commercial renovations, lawn services, and window cleaning. Which one of them would be your focus?
I prefer renovations.
Okay. You just pick one, right?
I love renovations.
Okay, good. Yeah. But you pick one because it's probably better. Just specialize.
Well, it's like
and
anything.
Focus.
If you spread yourself too thin, then you're not the expert at anything.
Okay. So that's why, and I'm not trying to beat them up. I got good friends there. That's why BTBI.
If you're a large company, you can definitely have different categories, and you can have different persons taking care of each section of what you just talked about.
What construction is always needed and has never had is a focused school for construction. Now, I advocate that this is where the challenge that we've been experiencing has existed since independence. Mm-hmm. We've never had training for people in construction. And I know people like to say contractors. Let's just talk about training for people in construction.
Right.
Okay, what does that mean? You assume your carpenter knows how to hang your door and plumb your door.
Pitch a roof.
And pitch a roof. Where did he get that knowledge to do that? And why are you? That's the first question. Mm-hmm. And callers, you could call in and answer that. Second question. Where did he get that knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Because I'd really like to know. And then secondly, how do you know he got the knowledge? Because we make gross assumptions. Mm-hmm. Debbie, you hire tradespeople all the time.
But
do you know they can do what they say they can do to you?
Because generally what I'll have them do is do something at my house first.
So you let them mess up your house first.
If they're going to mess it up, they can mess it up at my house. Nobody knows. And then we can go from there.
Then you can go
from there. If they have all the other qualities of being reliable, on time, trustworthy, easy to work with, and willing to learn. If they have those, you can make some mistakes because we all have, right?
Yeah.
You have to make mistakes to better yourself.
To better yourself,
to
learn. Yeah. Okay. So we got a guest?
I don't know.
I didn't
bring anybody.
But seems like we have a guest. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what'd I miss?
You missed nothing.
Oh,
Kalina
okay.
General.
Wonderful.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I put it in the group. You wanted somebody to come and talk with insurance.
Okay.
I did. I reached out. Nobody told me. But hey, Jackie, grab yourself a mic and put your headphones on. Apparently, you've been thrown into the mix while we're talking with construction. Can you hear well?
Which one is yours? This one here, right?
Yeah. So dial it up for her.
Yes.
More?
I don't know. I'm not hearing through the mic, actually. But once you could hear me. No, I can't hear anything. Not through theirs.
Well, can you hear what we're saying?
I can.
Okay, that's what
I'm
saying.
Is it too loud?
Okay.
Did I make it too loud?
No, I'm good, I think.
All right, okay.
Okay, good. So we can hear you. Okay, welcome, Jack. Jackie, for the record, please state your name for the show.
So my name is Jacqueline Gardner, and I'm from the powerful, strong Kalina General.
Kalina General, which we will have a sponsor, because we already got insurance management here, so they don't beat you all to the punch.
We're strong and we're powerful. That shouldn't happen.
So we're going to get you on next so y'all can outmaneuver, hopefully, insurance management. Okay, we're pleased to have you. Pleased to have you.
Great to be here.
So we can shift our conversation just a little bit, but still on it. So we were talking about the fact that, sorry, your surname again?
Gardner.
I like Gardners. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So, Madam Gardner, you own a home? You're in a home?
Sorry?
You own a home or in a home?
Yes, absolutely. I own a condo and I own a set of apartments.
Good.
I guess.
That's
so
awesome.
Good. I know about construction.
Mm-hmm. Good. You built your condo or built apartments? Good.
Yes.
So, Debbie and I were talking
Is
about
your
this.
Uncle an electrician named Gardner?
Well, they said all gardeners are related, and if he has money, I'm claiming him. Oh.
So, we were talking about how do we know what people know in construction? Right. So, let me pull you into this conversation. You already built two things. So, the question is, when you got a plumber or an electrician or a carpenter, how did you know they know what to do for you when they came to your property?
Great question. So, my father, who's deceased, he is a building contractor.
Okay.
So, it started with him. Right. So, I got some background from that, watching him move. My uncle was also a building contractor.
Okay, good.
There you go.
I'm glad that we get. Apartment. Good, right. Good. I love this. Okay. Now, let's peel this back. Let me pull back this onion again.
Right.
So, your father, I'm condolences, he passed. He'll be good now. So, let me ask you, where did he learn his craft?
Okay, so that's a good question. Where he learned his
craft. How old was he when he passed from AI?
So, he was in his 50s, relatively 59, relatively young.
Right, what are you talking about? Right around. So, he was born in when?
I don't know when he was born, but I know he passed when he was 59.
So,
and he would have been born in late
60s. Late 60s. Same thing with my dad. He's a little younger than my dad. My dad was 56. Mm-hmm. So around the same age.
Wow. When he passed?
56, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's young.
So
that's
young. Yeah. So imagine this now. 50. So he was born in 50s. You're not sure when he got his or how he got his knowledge of construction, but clearly he was successful enough to put you your family through school and all
Actually,
the good stuff.
Six children through six private children. School okay, and college.
Then.
He
okay.
He went to college, so
good.
He did well.
See that in construction.
Yes.
So now, you knew your grandfather?
No, he passed away early. So Before I think that's what propelled my father to gain employment
and
very
so,
early because his father passed away very early in his
So
life.
We were just trying to peel back the layers to say, okay, your father, and you already admitted, Jessica, I kind of remember my dad said, you know, he apprenticed under somebody. So let's assume your dad apprenticed under somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the case.
Where did that apprentice come from? Where did that knowledge and skill come from? The pass it to your father and then pass it on to generations who are now in their 30s and 20s now today. Right. It's the conversation we're having. Because you're lucky. You had the advantage of having a father who's a contractor.
I've had some bad experiences also.
So let's push the fact that you at least had some knowledge.
Some good ones. Right.
Now let's put the 22-year-old young person, male or female, building their first home. The person comes to them, say they are a contractor. Price looks good. They contract him. Mm-hmm. Question I'm going to ask you, Ms. Gardner, how do they know the individual is able to do what they're claiming to do? How do they know?
Excellent question. And I love that question. So you need knowledge is power. Experience is power. So I think that the individual first needs, he or she needs to find out about the experience, the background. Not just take it from the contractor.
No.
Right.
Get evidence. Mm-hmm. So give me samples of two or three or four.
Yeah, projects that you've done.
Correct.
Yeah.
And actually go and speak with those homeowners and see what kind of or businesses and see what kind of experience they had.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the best thing to do to get living information.
Because a lot of them will just give you
they'll
tell you the houses. And you can drive by, but then when you ask if you can go in or meet the people, they work too much. You can't do that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely.
So you really have to make sure that, you know, another construction company didn't build that, but they liked the house and wanted to. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That happens a lot.
Make sure it's a legitimate
experience. My story's a little different.
So tell me your story.
All right. So I'm an only child, mm-hmm. and I'm a girl, and I believe my dad wanted a boy. Because he had me under the hood of vehicles, and he had me, you know, we grew up poor, so basically whatever had to be done, he had to do it, right? Mm-hmm. He had to build it, he had to do it, and basically he had me there as his,
assistant,
apprentice, right? And then from there, what I did is I took fashion design, so mm-hmm. I learned how to draft. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to do these kind of things.
Right in line, construction.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then when I first moved here, a friend of mine who had a construction company, she saw the work that I was doing in the house that I moved into mm-hmm. that desperately needed renovating, mm-hmm. right? And I did most of it with the John S. George stamps because I couldn't work.
Amazing story.
So I mean, yeah. So I mean, that's basically how I did it. And then I bought the Walker's book, mm-hmm. and then I bought another book on estimating,
and you taught yourself.
And I basically did all of that. And then when I first started, I would hire somebody, and I would be on the site the entire time. Why are you using mm-hmm. that? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with that? Mm-hmm. Why? What's the purpose of doing that? Mm-hmm. And I still ask a million questions.
That's good.
And that's basically how I learned to do it. Mm-hmm. You know.
And then that it works. It's
everybody
practical.
Does it differently. And, but
exactly.
You know, there's always if you're mm-hmm. really interested in doing it right, there's a way
to do it.
Yeah. Totally agree with that.
And so that was just a segue leading into the question, and now we're going to pull you in now, Ms.
Even
Gardner.
Even further?
Yeah.
All right.
So I want to know, and I hope you have your statistical data.
I don't have statistical data, but
good.
I can tell you from experience.
Good.
I don't
tell us the data. Because the public doesn't understand the involvement, the magnitude of construction in the Bahamas. On average, Kalina, does how many hundreds of thousands or millions contractors all risk insurance in the Bahamas a year?
Okay, so that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I cannot give you an exact
number. Not exact. Average.
I can state it from this perspective. Mm-hmm. So Kalina, like I say, big, strong, powerful. Mm-hmm. We have branches about three here and Exuma, Freeport, and Abaco. Mm-hmm. And all those offices, we write contractors all risk mm-hmm. policies. So whereas I can't give you an exact number, I can tell you that it is prevalent in the Bahamas from the perspective that for those persons that are going through a bank, it is mandatory.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. For those contractors to have insurance. Even you would not believe it, and this is why the numbers have been growing, even with respect to the small government projects, mm-hmm. contractors just being contracted to, like, do painting mm-hmm. and simple repair work, government and
requires
kudos, yes.
Contractors
kudos
all risk.
To the government.
Really?
Yes. They want them to have the indemnity, public liability, portion
really?
Of it. Yes.
Now you got yourself really deep in it. I'm so sorry. You dive head first down this rabbit hole. No, you ain't it now.
I'm in it. I can swim.
Talk to us about the difference between, because let me go there. Contractors in our association, mm-hmm. which we have hundreds of contractors,
correct.
Lament, cry, complain about their insurers claiming that it is hard for them to get public liability insurance. And in fact, on a project that I recently did with my partner, we was only able to get CAR with a liability clause, but not liability insurance. Talk to us about two things. Why is that such a very, very obscure to me? And for contractors, area of insurance to get. And then secondly, if it is not so obscure and we do have it, why is it so hard for insurers to have it underwritten by the agencies?
Okay, so all very good questions. So it is available. Contractors all risk insurance with public liability attached is available. The challenge is many of the persons want extremely high limits. Mm-hmm. For example, you have a $250,000 material damage, so a home. Mm-hmm. So let me use what persons will understand. Mm-hmm. So you have a project to construct a home for $250,000, mm-hmm. right? That's considered material damage, mm-hmm. meaning physical damage you can touch.
Absolutely.
For you, right? Attached to that policy, persons will come in and they want sometimes $1 million worth of liability.
That was,
now, you put that in comparison.
But
the home is $250,000.
I know.
Yeah, the liability limit is $1
million. $1
million. And what people do not realize that liability is high risk.
That's cover. Where the claim comes in.
That's where.
So on specifically, and thank you for answering the question so succinctly, that was the same challenge there. So the contract I reviewed, Debbie, mm-hmm. was only a $200,000 contract. But the contracting company required $1 million general liability. What is? $1 million personal injury.
Yes.
$1 million damage to any vehicle that was not on the property. And it was total about $7 million worth of other liability on a $200,000 scope of work.
We talked about that offline, that when... you know, you might have a contractor that only does like maybe $80,000 or $90,000 of work a year. So for that person in the, you know, Contractors Act mm-hmm. to have to have $1 million worth of liability, he's not going to be able to do that. Because he's going to have to add so much onto each job.
To cover that.
That he probably
and it
won't
isn't cheap.
Get, you're bringing up.
He will
and
get
it
a job.
Cheap.
No,
it isn't cheap.
Absolutely not cheap.
No.
What is happening... with respect to all those requirements and mm-hmm. why it's so onerous, mm-hmm. I think for some individuals, they're mimicking international contracts.
They are.
And just without any total understanding
yeah.
to the local climate and environment.
Correct.
But let me ask you, and you're 100% right with that. Mm-hmm. And so let me speak to the challenge that we as Bahamian contractors have. I know Debbie has, and I know I have. Have you ever did a contract for a foreign person?
I know you were going to go there.
So
no.
Well, I have several times.
Well,
so,
yes. Bernard Ashley.
Okay. Again, mm-hmm. the challenge is when we talk about construction, how mm-hmm. contractors, even though we're local, we're global.
Right.
Someone, mm-hmm. a contracting firm or a person who used to do something in Texas, he's not going to consider all what you talk about inside little old Bahamas. He just knows one thing. My contract, what are you going to sign? I need $1 million liability. I need $1 million, or else, guess what? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go to companies who can.
Absolutely.
Now, guess who could get it from you? Mm-hmm. The big contractors who do $500 million, mm-hmm. $500 million a year, they can fork out the, you know,
mm-hmm.
the 30, 40 grand for the coverage. Mm-hmm. But what does it do for everyone else? What does it do for the small guy? So mm-hmm. I think insurance companies have to be a little more, two things, creative to help everyone get more insurance, because here's what benefits you. More people buy insurance, more people get coverage in the event that something happens. If nothing happens, you're just making money. That's going to grow big and strong again. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what you want is everyone to be insured. That's
absolutely.
The goal.
Right. And,
absolutely.
And you also have to understand the indemnity insurance is if somebody falls off a roof, right, and dies or falls off a roof and breaks their back and can no longer
work.
Right, the contractor's all risk insurance that you
doesn't
have.
Cover
it's
that.
Not going to cover that.
No.
That's not going to cover that at all.
At all.
I'm glad that you pointed that out.
And the reason it has to be $1 million is because a family might actually go to court and ask for $1 million.
$1 million.
If that's the sole provider and there's six or eight children and they may be taking care of parents or in-laws. I mean, that's what it's for.
Absolutely.
And that's why you have to have it, because if something happens, if you don't have it, you'll lose your house. You'll lose your sister's house, your brother's house, you lose everybody's house.
So you pointed out an excellent point. Mm-hmm. So a lot of persons assume that employees are covered by the employer's, is covered by the contractor's all-risk policy,
yeah.
Right? Employers should be covered by national insurance.
Insurance. Mm-hmm.
That's the policy, mm-hmm. which is designed to cover bodily mm-hmm. injuries, number
for
one.
For
and then
yes.
there is a policy called employer's liability policy.
Speak just about
so
that.
So that one, and a lot of persons get confused with mm-hmm. it from public liability. That's
employer's
designed,
liability.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So that particular policy covers the employer mm-hmm. against any legal liability for death or bodily injuries out of, this is a big word, negligence. Negligence.
Of the employer.
Correct.
So
to the top of the class.
In an instance where he may be gone, or he may have been brought before the court and was not, and he could prove that it was not any of his negligence, but really just an accident on the part of the employee, he Absolutely. Would not suffer any damage.
Absolutely. Okay. Beautiful. Why it's so important to have that particular cover is that it also offers defense costs. Mm. Now, we know anytime you're dealing with...
Lawyer
and legal liability.
Plenty of money.
Yes. So the policy will pay the limit if he's found to be negligent, but it will also defend him in cases where he's not negligent. Very important cover to have.
That's good. I like that. Now, here's the question. So we spoke about three, four different types of coverage.
Right.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you if you all are creative enough to do this. I got a contract. It's $400,000. I take out contractors all risk. So here's the conversation start. Can I add employers' liability? Can I then add public liability with
a
limit?
That from the beginning, yeah.
Add a limit at probably only about $250,000 for what you call the touch and feel and the real.
Basic.
And then a small additional addition to that for something scary. What would that be called? So we talk about contractors all risk. That's one. I add now public liability and employer's liability. That should cover me totally on my project, those three?
So
do I have any exposure outside of those three?
They're the main exposures. Now, some companies will offer it as a package policy. So generally, a contractor's all-risk policy is a broad cover. That's why it's expensive. It's all risk. Mm-hmm. Of course, all risk in quotes, because not all risks are covered.
Right.
So only those things specifically excluded. Right?
Okay.
Under the policy. So you look to know what is not covered. You look under the exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the broadest form of cover you can have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and you know, construction, high risk. Mm-hmm. So that's good news. So it offers material damage, which we just spoke of, or property damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then that same package policy, so several different covers can go under that, can be extended to include the public liability, which is your legal liability to the public for debt or bodily injuries or property damage. Very important cover also to have. And that's the one that most persons are really, really concerned about, contractors having that cover. Public's coming onto the property and probably being injured.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of the home want to make sure that, hey, they don't come and sue them as the owner.
Sue me,
so it's good to have that in place with the employer noted on that policy. So we can talk a little bit. I want to go to that whole case about noting the employer on your policy. All right. And then you can have employer's liability. Now, for some persons, they can add it under their contractor's policy, or they can sell you a standalone employer's liability.
Really?
Either way, covering that particular project.
So, Ms. Gardner, let me ask you a question. So Debbie is doing a project.
Mm-hmm.
She has contractors all risk with someone else. She finds some good friends at insurance management.
Work with Kalina General.
But then she comes to you.
Okay.
And she only wants employer's liability.
Okay. So some companies...
How does that work?
Most companies do not sell it as a standalone, but there might be one or two will offer it as a standalone.
Mm.
Because it's a liability high risk cover, you want to know that you have accommodation business for taking on such a high. It has to make sense, right? Because a lot of persons, you were talking about the insurance company and thinking about the poor man, and we do. We are civic minded, socially minded. However, as a business, so this is what I want to leave your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance is a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nonprofit.
No,
right? A lot of people think it's nonprofit, right? So we're in it. We are in it. Well, they treat it from that perspective. They want you to cover everything.
Insurance I pay is not. It's
not a nonprofit. So we're in it. We have to assess risk. And we have to rate that risk, mm-hmm. you know, based on the exposure it brings to the pool. So if it's a high risk, of course, you'll pay higher mm-hmm. premium, even in terms of exposure. If it's an exposure that is a high exposure, you want to know that that particular client is being loyal and they're bringing all of their exposures to you, not just the high risk, because that's like anti-selection against mm-hmm. the insurer. You with me? Mm-hmm. So not that it cannot be done, but the general rule in the market is mm-hmm. We would want to insure you for employer's liability in addition to all the other covers that you might have.
Mm-hmm. I got another question for you then. Good. Okay. I like that. There's some great okay. answers. Great answers.
Great.
You know what? I'm gonna hold the question out for you because it's a heavy question.
Hold it until after the break.
So this is Nailed It on Guardian 96.9, and we'll be back right after this break.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you.
are back. We are back to Nailed It. And I'm just smiling because we got a wonderful guest stymied during the break.
We are learning so much, and so is she.
Oh, she is. So she is.
What I'd like to do is, we are a nonprofit.
Unlike the insurance companies.
Because the show is actually the Bahamian Contractors Association is the show.
Oh.
It's not Leonard and Debbie. It's the Bahamian Contractors Association. And since we're a nonprofit, we have sponsors for the show. So I'll let you know who our sponsors are right now. We have Wosley Construction. We have ARM Caribbean. We have ART Development. We have CMEX. We have Storm Frame. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions. We have Sandbank Construction and Insurance Management.
And next week we will have Kalina General. I'm absolutely certain. So
thank you so much for sponsoring, because otherwise we would not be able to do this show.
So we're
so grateful and thankful for that.
So well,
we need to figure out how we can get on that. I don't know what we're going to do.
We'll send you an email. Absolutely. So that we can go back to the conversation that we were having during the break.
The dangerous conversation?
The absolutely dangerous conversation. So. And I'm going to go back into it, and the listening audience is aware of this. So, Debbie, can you give them the numbers, please? Because we want them to call in.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And ask Ms. Gardner some of the questions that's going to come out of this.
Yes, if you would like to call us, you can call us on 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259, or toll-free from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. Or you can text us on Guardian Radio, text line 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply.
So, Ms. Gardner, it's like school. Let me give you the assignment that you missed, because you wasn't there last week. And you probably didn't listen to the show, so let me give you what you missed, okay?
Yes, sir.
In 2016, December the 29th, Royal Assent of this Act, it reads, Construction Contractors Act 2016, an act to provide for the registration and licensing of construction contractors, for the regulation and control of construction contracting industry, and for related purposes, enacted by the Parliament of the Bahamas, the 29th of December 2016. Can I ask you, just for the record, what year are we in and what is the date?
This is 2020.
February 2025, 2016 to 2025.
It's 9 years.
That's nine.
Almost it 9 years. Yeah. This has been the law. So you mentioned something very interesting. A part of the conversation, we had lawyers call in and agreed with what we're telling you. I know that on every single CAR form, the intent is that you are engaging a contractor to provide coverage based on what you was assume, and Debbie and I always talk about this, you assume that the person is competent, the person knows what to do, and would not cause Kalina Insurance losses into the tens of millions by providing them coverage. What this act provided for was the licensing and registration of all contractors in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. This act was enacted, the board has not been appointed, and so I'm telling you, every single contract that Kalina Insurance Management and every single insurance company that entered with a contractor is voidable, because that individual is not licensed to be a contractor.
They have a business license to have a business.
And so the conundrum is not with the contractor. The conundrum is your parliament. Your parliament enacted an act and did not provide for the board to license the individuals. So I don't know how your Christmas bonus is going to look this year, but I really just hope.
That's a little some stuff sticky don't happen. One. I was not aware of it. You saw the expression
on
my face.
She was like, this is not real you're talking about. No, this is real.
So I need to deep dive into that a little bit further. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you to please forward that on to me.
Absolutely.
And then you invite me back to
and
the show.
And I will send it to President.
We can have a discussion.
Yes.
And I will send it to the president of the commission. I will send it to everybody because they need to know that what they thought was exposure before, it just quadrupled.
Yes.
In the event of legal action, you will be, all insurance companies will be left holding the bag.
Right. We've been ripping the Band-Aid off since we started this show.
Yep.
And we've been ripping the Band-Aid off ever since 2016. We have met in 2017, I think we met.
The former minister.
Former minister. Public Works. And then.
The one after that, after the Western Grove Point, we met with that
one. And we
one.
Haven't had a meeting in 2 years with them.
No.
And they still haven't done the performed it yet.
They don't understand. The importance. I called the Attorney General's name last week for a reason. This is a legal problem. This is a legal problem that until a board is appointed to issue the first license, every time a contract is formed, it is voidable until a licensed contractor can sign his name. Until someone has a license and say, my license number is X. Every single contract that Kalina, everyone does.
And banks are lending banks, money.
Everyone.
To the client, they've taken the contractors out of the equation.
Well, they know about that part. But mm-hmm. just the liability. Mm-hmm. Just a liability. Ms. Gardner, I believe this call is going to be for you. Let's take this call. You're alive to nail it.
Golly, days is talking away so long with.
You got Debbie, Leonard, and Ms. Gardner.
Okay. But what I was going to ask you, right?
Yes, sir.
It seems as though negligence has been established all through.
Mm-hmm. So, on part of the government.
Okay then. Mm-hmm. So who's supposed to fix that? And you know, and the people, the employers, right,
mm-hmm.
had wrong done to them.
Yes.
So who's going to pay the cost for that?
Well, the answer to that in short, I know the legal team for Kalina and the Insurance Commission and all the other, they got a big, big legal firm behind them. And if they want to bring a suit against the governor of Bahamas, I'm certain that the Attorney General's office does not have the capacity to handle that legal challenge. So that's going to be on them.
So let me ask you something else. Do Kalina has a contract to do their work for them?
But they believe they do, yes. They're not licensed, but they are performing the work for Kalina.
But how that is possible?
Because there's no licensed contractors in the Bahamas. I could make myself a little badge
and I could
stamp it and sign it and saying I'm a licensed contractor and I licensed myself. But I mean I'm being silly.
Yeah. The thing is, government has to give confirmation.
Thank you.
Yes,
because
building permits come from the Ministry of Works and your occupancy certificate comes from the Ministry of Works.
On the presumption so that has to come
from
work.
The government.
Yeah. So
somebody needs to stand up.
Someone needs to. We try very hard
saying,
to do so, but
send a
it's person
to
like
your
yourself
MP.
Who will continue to lend voices to us to help them to get to understand. So thank you very
thank
much
you.
For your call.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So let me pull away from that now. I don't want to get you too bogged down in it. So all these contractors who wish to be licensed are not licensed from 2016. We're having the conversation again about the minimum coverage. So give us we're going to ask you to give us your advice on how do we go about this. In our association, we have some over 300 plus contractors. Outside of the association, there are tens of thousands of contractors. We agreed between ourselves, maybe 10 to 20% of them, have some type of insurance cover for the work what they do, but outside of the work they do, just operating their business, there's no insurance cover. How do you give us a suggestion? How do we seek to empower them to do something to limit their exposure in the business of construction contracting?
And is there a sliding scale that could be applied based on
volume of work and capacity?
You know, working family islands and that
yeah,
kind of
they
thing.
Yeah, they don't have $1 million to get your insurance. Yeah.
Okay, so excellent question. You would not believe it when one of my colleagues reached out to me and said, hey, Jackie, you're always on the radio. This is something good. It's the Contractors Association. I was like, I want to be there
okay.
because I have over the years as the the vice president of underwriting at Kalina General, and we've been trying to reach out to associations or to figure out what is the main body to give a proposal to say, hey, if all of you guys, there's power in numbers.
Thank you.
All right? So if you all can organize yourself in such a fashion.
We are.
Where you can say it's 100 of us, it's 200 of us. We have so many years of experience. Mm-hmm. These are the type of works we're involved with. Some are building homes, some are building commercial property. This is what the average claims experience mm-hmm. would look like for the particular portfolio. Mm-hmm. We can always go and negotiate almost like a blanket cover that is like layered. Like we can say, all right, contractors in this category, they pay this amount of money, and this is the liability limit attached to this kind of coverage. So we can...
We
also have subcontractors. So, like, even though we are the contractors association, we realize that a contractor is not a contractor without subcontractors and suppliers.
So
they are all members of the association.
So that's an important one because I think a lot of contractors. When we are providing coverage, they don't even realize that they can cover their subs
as well. Yeah.
Their subcontractors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes when you are asking the question, like, hey, it's no additional premium. All you need to do is include them in the contract value and break it out to say this amount. This is a contract with respect to the subcontractor. Mm-hmm. Find some basic information about the contractor, and they can be covered under that same contract.
I think you need to come and talk at one of our luncheons.
Yeah.
Because
I would welcome the opportunity.
Yes, because you would be able to tell them
how to do it.
And then we could advertise that you would be coming so that more would actually come to the luncheon.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you very much. That was a great answer to the question.
Yes,
but it brings up.
It makes what we, I all of a sudden can actually breathe.
Yeah, I'm actually liking the fact that we can do it again.
That would work. So I was late, so I'm adding great merit to the conversation. I came from far to be here, but I'm glad that I'm adding.
Wow.
So watch this now. We had talked. And this is all the way out. We discussed that several years ago, Debbie, when you first joined.
Mm-hmm.
So how come? We got hundreds of members at a financial every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask us, you're the BCA, can't we seem to get some kind of blanket coverage that all of us who are a member of this pool pay into or we can get special rates? And now you're saying that is possible.
When we go back
to the membership and tell them, listen, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We got insurance companies who's going to work with us and give us this kind of coverage. They're going to be absolutely excited about that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're not looking for nothing magical.
Okay.
Everyone just wants to be able to afford
the cover.
To get cover.
Right, because most people want, it's like health insurance or home insurance, right? If you can't afford it, but you would love to be able to have it, right? Home insurance, you know, once your mortgage is paid, most people don't pay it anymore because they don't need to, but most of us want to, but we just can't afford it.
So if
you can do that, that would be amazing. I can guarantee
you, it would be the most amazing things that you would have, if Kalina would have done or any insurance company would embark upon it because there are thousands of contractors.
Mm-hmm.
They'd all want to be a part of it, but the only caveat is, of course, they left to be members of the BCA.
All right.
And
well,
they,
you said
they benefit from that.
You said the terms.
I said the terms.
So 2025, me personally, is my year of overflow. And so my thing is everything that I touch must increase and expand. So here we are.
There we go.
All right. This is awesome.
I love it, Ms. Gardner. Yes. So now let's talk about some of the horror stories.
Oh my goodness.
No, we got to walk through it because I need the listening audience. And there's some homeowner out there, some young lady, some man, some grand person who tried to do a project out of, the pocket and it didn't go right. Tell us, how does contractors all risk insurance work when something happens like, let me give you an example. All right, we're doing a project, it's mid-July, contract started in early March, hurricane came through, mid of the project, tore the roof off. Contractor shows up, he's got enough. Contractors all risk cover. What happens next?
Okay, so the first thing, good question, especially as it's the beginning of the year, and so we can start right. So I can tell you some horror stories from Hurricane Dorian and what happened in Abaco. I tell people I don't ever want to go. I'm talking about it, and actually I'm tearing up from the perspective, not just contractors, that had projects out there exposed and not properly mm-hmm. insured, the amount of homeowners, it shocked me mm-hmm. to see the amount, and even with banks noted on those policies, the amount of policies that were not current. Wow. It wasn't that they didn't have them at inception. They didn't keep the policy current.
Wow.
And we know with construction, this is what happens a lot with construction policy. So this is a very good point that you brought to the table. So you would start with... persons will come to you. Contractors are always overly optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Construction time, you're trying to say them.
Six
they
months.
Want 3 months. No. Some of them want 3 months. I'm telling you, I have all my men on board. We can do it.
Mm-hmm. We can do it in 3 months.
Mm-hmm. The average home is 6 months.
Average, yeah.
But even with that 6 months,
you could extend.
Some of them require extension. Mm-hmm. Delays with material, all kinds of delays.
Right.
They forget to extend the cover.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
And if you do not, and even with the banks, that's where the bank, okay, they had a current cover on file, but the project got extended. And, of course, the banks, they're not insurance person working. So you're not even thinking about that. All you know, you had a current cover on the policy. And Murphy's Law, at the time when that policy isn't extended, that's where you have a hurricane. It could be a hurricane season, and you expose, you have a claim.
Ms. Gunn, I think we have another question coming in for you. Let's take this call. Let's see what it got.
Yeah, I'm calling Bremen, calling again.
Yes, Bremen.
What I try to figure out, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the mathematical scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about that when it people are billing in different forms, you know? If you understand what I'm saying.
Clarify it just a little bit for me, Bremen.
Okay. Some people may just want to build their house square.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want it still square, but it's round in a sense,
mm-hmm.
according to...
I got you now.
Yeah. So in a situation like that, right, how do you deal with that with a contractor who doesn't... He or she only know one type of
I get you. All right. I'll just hang up and listen for the answer, sir, okay? Thanks, Ruben. Debbie, I'll let you take that.
Well, a contractor should know how to build it, whether it's square, rectangle, round, whether it's got 18 rooms, 2 rooms, whether it's 2-story, 1-story, has a basement, it should not matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a drawing, you are following
the drawing.
If you cannot read the drawing, then you need to go and have somebody teach you how to read the drawing, because that's what happens. A lot of people...
Yeah.
I've been on so many job sites where the person has no idea what that piece of paper says. None. They have no idea mm-hmm. how long this is supposed to be. They have no idea how to make it square. And the only thing I could say is do not hire that person.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good answer. Ms. Gardner.
Yes.
Let me get you into the high.
Back in the conversation, I was enjoying listening.
Back into this exposure, because let me give you an honest approach for the contractors. We don't, and I'm going to put it on you and the Insurance Commissioner of Bahamas.
Oh my goodness.
You guys don't do a good enough job.
Oh my goodness.
Of talking to contractors about what are the benefits of having contractors all risk and the other types of cover, so. If a person doesn't know why it's going to benefit me,
mm-hmm.
they generally won't get it.
Right.
I mean, just being honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of coming to the Contractors Association, there's not enough information going out to the contracting community to tell us, why should I have... Till I came here, I didn't even know about employers' liability cover was available in the Bahamas. I know in the States.
Right.
Workers' comp, all that's not here. So how do you think you could get that message out to the guy in Cat Island needs to know it? The ones in Grand Bahama need to know it? The construction going on in Auckland's Cat Island? There are thousands of people who engage every day.
Don't know
that this is stuff that they can get. And maybe it isn't even a big deal for them to afford it, but they don't know about it.
What about a Zoom seminar?
I don't know. I think there's an opportunity to do some
construction. So absolutely, I am taking note. Mm-hmm. We would be absolutely interested. I do a lot of seminars for a lot of different bodies. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this. So let's start in terms of educating the contractors. Mm-hmm. So we do try to share knowledge when they come in, but of course that's those that are coming in.
Correct.
Secondly, many persons, so I don't know if your association has undergone massive change. I'm not sure, or just was formed, because I personally was trying to figure out who is the main contact person that represents that organization.
That's him right there.
So,
and it was 1959. 1958 is when the Bahamian Contractors Association was formed.
So I don't know why.
1958.
Your Honor, I don't know why that I never was successful in getting to your body, but nothing before time.
Nothing
so
before
we're
time.
Here yes. with excellent news. No. So that yes. this is good time.
This
good.
Is excellent.
All right. So definitely that's something we'd be interested in. But beyond that, mm-hmm. I think, and it's just me speaking to you as I'm sharing this information, I'm thinking the information is there. So every insurer will have that information on their website.
Good.
Right?
Good.
But many of the contractors are not going to website.
Absolutely.
I don't. You see that,
I don't.
You see that
no.
gap?
Yeah.
You
I
see
won't.
Where that gap is?
Yeah. yeah.
So more of us need to go where the contractors are.
Right.
right?
Yeah.
Now, we don't know where, so that's what you're going to tell us. We don't know where they hang out, so you're going to tell us where they hang
yes.
out so we can go and meet yes. you on your home base.
Good.
With regards to the Insurance Commission, Ms. Munnings is my very good friend at the Insurance Commission, and I can tell you this, she is very heavy on education.
We speak quite a bit.
Yes, and then she just opened up, Insurance Commission office is now in Freeport, and her aim and objective is to share information. So I'm sure I will let her know I had this conversation. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to her,
and
I'm sure that she will be tapping in or joining me right here on Guardian Radio, eager to talk.
Now, you should have asked her how to get in contact with us, because she reaches out and she asks some of the questions. So what is the general average construction cost per square foot in this area, in that area? Mm. What in price increase has we seen? Oh, she gets all the information.
Okay.
So I hope that she's disseminating it among all the members of the commission, but they reach out to the Contractors Association, and everyone does. So let me give you a little bit about our history whilst we're here.
Okay,
Contractors Association was formed in 1958 by a group of contractors during the time of the labor movement and all that stuff, unions were happening, but they never intended to be a union. They just wanted to be a group of contractors who wanted to see the advancement and promotion of construction and contracting services in the country. Mm-hmm. Since that time, we probably had about 8 or 9 presidents. I've been president/chairman twice.
Okay.
In this association, I think the first time was back in either 2016 when this act was passed. I was the president of the association at the time.
I see why you're so passionate.
Absolutely. I helped wrote the act.
Okay.
Yeah, very proud to say that.
Okay.
Many long nights.
That's a lot to be proud of.
Uh-huh. And then now back again in 2022, I think. No, 2023. I think I became president again. Because how long were we?
22, I think.
Yeah. So, and again, just made president again at our elections last year.
And I'm vice president.
And this is vice president. So you're talking to the two dominations right here.
You see how the stars line up?
Yeah, they are lining for you.
But
beyond that, we are primarily, and I say this to all the persons, we are the voice of construction in the country. We are reached out to by every single NGO inside the country, outside the country. We provide the statistics to the government on construction-related services. We advise IDB. We advise every single agency you could imagine that connects with the government.
Consumer protection calls us.
There's in-country missions, whether they come for to find out what happened in Dorian. We gave a report to them, what happened with construction and the provision to revise the building code. They talk to contractors because we are the association of contractors in the country. So you come to the right place to talk and understand what we are. And our meetings, we meet all the contractors, are once a month at the Balmoral, the last Wednesday of every single month. And you're invited to drop in, have
Absolutely.
Lunch, and talk to the membership.
Definitely. I'm going to accept that invitation.
And
consider it done.
And mm-hmm. our offices have been located. So we did change one thing. We were in number 27 Jerome Avenue. We just took the light and take a left, and now we're on Chesapeake.
Yeah.
In the InQdesk space. And we've been there for 2 years.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
2 years. Prior well, to that, we've been... Prior to that, we've been at Jerome Avenue for probably for 7 to 8 years. And prior to that, we was at Caribbean storage facility right. for probably for 20-something odd years.
Mm-hmm. So well-organized.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we are the only ones.
We well, are there the are only. Other.
And the electrical, yeah. mm-hmm. and we have the... No, we have the electrical and the...
There's a Grand Bahama. Mechanical,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some associations in Abaco. I'm sorry, inside Grand Bahama.
In Grand Bahama.
But in Nassau, it's the Bahamian Contractors Association.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the hub.
Yeah, this is the hub.
I'm dealing with the hub, okay.
And finalizing this conversation about insurance.
Right.
Is there, how do we get to a place where the insurance work for the contractors just as well as it works for me, in my view, the homeowner and the banks? You know, we're never, ever generally the lost payee. How do we get to shift some of that we're taking out this exposure, we're paying all this monies out. We don't get none of these monies back. It ain't us.
Okay, so first of all, it was my even understanding if insurance is a requirement, you're including it in your contract cost. That was my understanding.
Your
right?
understanding. So some people don't.
No, because they don't appreciate that. It is an expense.
It is
so
an expense.
So it should be included in it's that contract.
The, it's yeah. the first expense.
Absolutely.
Insurance.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you can decide whether you can split, because this is where I wanted to go between you and the homeowners.
Homeowner.
Because, because really every contract should have both of those parties noted on it. Some mm-hmm. persons just take it in the homeowner's mm-hmm. name. You should have both the contractor and the homeowner mm-hmm. noted on that policy. Here's the reason why. So let's just take the typical public liability cover. Mm-hmm. That individual can decide, you know, something. I wonder, as opposed to going after the contractor, that contractor, he looks broke.
Mm.
I don't want to fool, but I'm not even sure his policy current. I'm going to bring the suit against the person who owns the project, home. The mm-hmm. home. So if you have both of their names mm-hmm. on that same project, then mm-hmm. you don't have to tap into two different policies. Mm-hmm. That policy would respond whether it's a claim against the contractor
or
the principal, which is the...
Yeah. Yeah.
The homeowner.
And that's good to know. I mean, you know.
And
again,
most persons don't realize that. That's yeah. very important. And so even if it's in, even if it's in the homeowner's name, the contractor should be noted, or the homeowner should ensure that the contractor has his or her
yes.
own policy.
So right. let me bring up another thing that's general in construction, but we don't do it a lot. I know I do it. I know one or two persons who do it. I don't know, Debbie, if you do it. When it comes to equipment, especially like the work truck, I often tell persons who are contractors in contracting space, do not license your vehicle as your personal vehicle and then use it for construction. You have 10 guys sitting on the back of the truck and then something happens.
Mm-hmm.
That truck should be licensed under what? Your construction company.
Yep.
And then also the coverage. So speak to us about how's the coverage different for a vehicle, let's say it's owned by Debbie's construction company.
All right. So in terms of your vehicles, you can use your vehicle in two main capacities. You can use it for personal use, social, domestic, and pleasure. Mm-hmm. You get that? Social,
domestic
and
pleasure. Or
that's private a private vehicle. Or, and some persons have trucks mm-hmm. that they utilize as a car. So they will be licensed as a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the insurer would allow them to insure those vehicles under a private policy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using your vehicle in an income generating capacity,
mm-hmm.
that's deemed commercial.
Mm-hmm.
The certificate is different.
Really?
Absolutely. Because your certificate wouldn't read now personal, domestic, and pleasure.
Oh.
It would be carved out and would read to speak specifically that you're using your vehicle
as
for hire or for
yeah.
reward
yeah.
or so, a goods carrying vehicle.
So what is it? So talk to us now. What is the difference in the coverage? Okay, so, now we define the classes. What's the difference in coverage?
All right. So for a private car, a private car, due to the nature that it's a lower risk policy, a lower risk, risk cover, they might have more bells and whistles under it. More like added features, so you will have loss of use, you know, rental. They have total loss, a variety of different covers. So they're lower risk, so you'll pay lower premiums, most likely. And like I said, they will have more covers that insurers even offer free of charge. So, for example, windscreen, $1,000, because the exposure is not so high. For a commercial policy, it's not so many of those covers packaged together. All right? So you can get a comprehensive, you can get a third party, you can get a third party fire and theft, which is the basic cover, but you wouldn't have all those bells and whistles because it's a work
Vehicle.
All right. Now, you might be able to get some of those covers by paying an additional premium. And that's what the business person needs to know.
Yeah.
That it's not like for like under the cover. And I can deny a claim because when you come in, you complete an application form. I would ask you, what is the usage of that vehicle? And I'm issuing my policy to based on the usage of that vehicle.
So give me an example. If I say my truck is for a private vehicle, but I'm using it for construction, and I have an accident where one of my guys was driving it, and someone got injured, and the person who was on the back of the truck got injured, how does the policy respond to that? Because it's not commercial. I used it commercially, but I only took out private motor vehicle insurance.
Okay, so you asked a very technical question from this basis. So if it's material damage, so let's talk, you're talking about bodily injuries.
Yes.
So we have Road Traffic Act that has strict laws as to how insurers must respond when bodily injuries are involved. So sometimes an insurer will respond to a claim that they can deny under their policy. But because of the act says that we can go on our behalf of our client, we can pay that claim, and then we can get we could subrogate against our client who's really guilty and shouldn't be covered by the policy and recoup the funds that have been paid for bodily injuries. All right? So there's a very special act dealing with bodily injuries to
the same act of parliament, the same party. created a whole lot.
So I need to ask a question then. So there's seatbelt laws, right?
Correct. Okay.
And then people are, you know, you got 20 people on the back of a truck.
Can't have a seatbelt.
No seatbelt.
Right. So coverage supposed to be, so another good question. The persons on the back of your truck should be in fixed seat.
Now, have you ever seen a fixed seat in the back of the truck?
So, or in an area, protected area, right? Okay. They shouldn't be
just sitting on the back of the truck.
Right, correct, right? So that's why the truck has actually that fixed seat section for you to sit in, and really the exposed portion really for you to put material on.
Yeah, not people.
Not people,
yeah,
right? Because you're exposed, right? So people do it all the time. Yeah. They don't realize that. But one of the things that I want to say, it's for contractors, is even for persons who, let's just speak about persons using their car for hire, right? Just talking about the difference, commercial versus private, right? So you have a certificate that says social, domestic, and pleasure. You're now using your car. I know lots of people do that. We're talking about construction, but I just want to use an example about commercial. So for hire is commercial, right? And so if you're using that, contrary to what you've signed on that contract, you breach the terms for property damage, we can deny that coverage. All right? So it's voidable. So the insurer sometimes, in good faith, sometimes, depending on the situation, you know, it might be a genuine oversight.
Okay.
Right? That in no way they intended to deceive or defraud. And so in cases like sometimes they will say, okay, what I can do is let's re-rate this as if this was, let you pay the correct premium and treat it as if it was a correct, it was assessed and processed correctly from inception. The insurer can speaking in conjunction with their reinsurer, say, hey, on this particular one, this particular client, they didn't intend to deceive us. They just selected the wrong cover. Mm-hmm. And they can, you know, true negotiation. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't say, because I know our listening audience would be saying the lady from Kalina said that that's the way we deal with claims. No, it is a contract, right? A contract of good faith. You give me good faith information. I deal with your claim in a good faith manner. Mm-hmm. So when you hear a lot of times, like Bahamians like to say this, right? We don't say that. We say they teeth. They teeth. That's a Bahamian kind of expression. A lot of times when you drill down and you hear the story, it was that the consumer or the policyholder breach a term and a condition of the policy. Contract. Right. Mm-hmm. And the policy should not be responding to claims where there's a breach.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. So, sort of like not being a contractor and being a contractor without a license.
Can you believe that we are out of time?
Wow.
We are out of time.
I caused that time
We are out of time and we had an awesome time. Ms. Gardner, you got to come back.
Yes.
You got to come back.
Yes. Now my family, this is the overflowing.
Absolutely.
And I'm in this space.
Do not leave without all the information. But this has been another exciting episode of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9.
Yes.
We'll see you next week.
Next week.
Over and out.
Over and out.